Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Mikhail Gorbachev sent his troops after Lithuanian deserters early today, beating some of them bloody. In Vilnius, independent supporters were stunned.
We are an armed nation. We are captives of Russians now. We want to seek our goals by peaceful, non-violent means. But we are in big shock now.
CBS News correspondent Barry Peterson in Vilnius reports on the mounting crisis.
It was a night of Soviet military action and a day of outrage from independence leaders. It started when troops busted into a psychiatric hospital at 3 a.m. and seized about half the 39 young Lithuanians who had deserted from the Soviet army. The others escaped in the confusion. Then, a pre-dawn takeover of the Communist Party's downtown office building. Later at Parliament, the Republic's leader, Vytautas Landsbergis, called the military actions open aggression. But in his speech, broadcast on national television, he urged his people to display, quote, maximum calm. His fear that any incident against a Soviet soldier or citizen will be Moscow's excuse to claim the situation is out of control. Moscow's excuse to simply send in its soldiers and take over. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Vilnius, Lithuania.
After today's raid on deserters, demonstrators sang the Lithuanian anthem outside Communist Party headquarters. President Landsbergis, through a translator, recalled what Mikhail Gorbachev told Senator Edward Kennedy only yesterday.
Gorbachev
said that he will not use force in Lithuania unless there is a threat to civilians' lives. In other words, he said he will use force in Lithuania.
Today's action follows a series of appeals from Washington urging Gorbachev not to upset U.S.-Soviet relations. Correspondent Bill Plant has the latest from the State Department.
While the President and the Secretary of State decide how the U.S. will react to the Soviet moves in Lithuania, government officials seem to be deliberately ambiguous. On the one hand, there are constant reminders that the Soviets have been promising all along not to use force. And there are statements from the White House and the State Department that any efforts to coerce or intimidate Lithuanians could be counterproductive for U.S.-Soviet relations. On the other hand, there is confusion about just exactly what the U.S. regards as excess force. Last fall, Secretary of State Baker made a sharp distinction between suppressing peaceful dissent and maintaining order in the face of ethnic rivalries which could lead to violence. It's not known exactly how the government regards the current situation. Bill Plant, CBS News, the State Department.
East Germany says it has discovered what appears to be a second secret mass grave just north of Berlin. It's believed to hold victims of Stalin's secret police. TV Marti, a U.S. propaganda television station, went on the air to Cuba early today, but within 38 minutes, Havana started jamming it. In case you dozed off before the best picture was announced at the Academy Awards, here's what you missed on the ABC TV special as Warren Beatty opened the envelope.
Driving Miss Daisy, Richard Buzanic, releasing his name.
The movie about a white Southern widow and her black chauffeur won three other Oscars, including Jessica Tandy as Best Actress.
I never expected in a million years that I would ever be in this position. It's a miracle.
Australian Bruce Beresford directed Miss Daisy, but wasn't even nominated, leading host Billy Crystal to quip, the acclaimed movie apparently directed itself. Oliver Stone won Best Director for Born on the 4th of July. The Best Actor Oscar went to Daniel Day-Lewis for his role as cerebral palsy victim and celebrated author-painter Christy Brown in My Left Foot.
I'm truly grateful to you that in honoring me with this award, you're encouraging Christie to carry on making his mark. Thank you very much indeed.
The Hollywood community, increasingly owned by Japanese corporations, also honored Japanese director Akira Kurosawa. The 80-year-old master got a chuckle when he said he still had much to learn about the cinema. The drive by Israeli Labor Party leader Shimon Peres to form a pro-peace government has apparently suffered a setback following a televised tirade by a 96-year-old rabbi. Lawrence Rifkin reports.
Before Rabbi Eliezer Shach rose to speak, the 10,000 ultra-Orthodox men filling a sports coliseum rose to pray. If Shimon Peres was praying where he was, it didn't seem to help, because while Shach's frail voice gave no order for religious parliamentarians to block any Peres-led government, it had nothing nice to say about Peres either. In fact, Shach lashed out at Israel's secular left, where Labor gets its support, saying these Israelis know nothing about being Jewish. The religious parliamentarians say this means vote against Peres, and this would perpetuate a 60-60 parliamentary tie. Officials from the hardline Likud party are claiming a victory. But while the Laborites say it's not over yet, there seems to be growing sentiment in Labor that its only chance now is new elections. Lawrence Rifkin, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Jay Weiss, the husband of actress Kathleen Turner, reportedly is one of the landlords of the illegal New York Social Club where Sunday's arson fire killed 87 people. The New York Daily News reports the Bronx District Attorney's Office is trying to decide whether to charge Weiss with letting that club operate. WCBS reporter Lou Meliano has been back to the grisly fire scene.
While New York City police spent another night raiding illegal night spots determined to close the fire traps like the Happyland Social Club in which 87 people died in a weekend arson fire, grieving relatives seem unable to tear themselves away from the scene of America's worst mass murder. Among them, Domingo Suazo, who sits alone on a bench, choking back tears, writing the names of six cousins again and again on sheets of white paper, letting each page drop to the sidewalk at his feet.
Some of them, maybe their family don't know about them. They died in a fire, last morning, Sunday morning.
A 36-year-old Cuban immigrant is in custody. Police say Julio Gonzalez has confessed to setting the fire after an argument with an ex-girlfriend at the club. Lou Meliano for CBS News, New York.
A plea from a Nobel Peace Prize winner will not stop a double killer from going to California's gas chamber next week. Marilyn Heider reports from KFMB San Diego.
Mother Teresa has pleaded with California Governor George Duke Majan to spare convicted double killer Robert Harris from the gas chamber. Harris shot to death two San Diego teenagers in 1978. He's scheduled to die in the gas chamber 1 week from today. Church officials say the governor spoke with Mother Teresa by telephone last night.
Mother Teresa asked Governor Duke Majan to do what Jesus would do if Jesus was in his position today.
A spokesperson for the governor says Duke Majan rejected Mother Teresa's plea.
Has overwhelmingly decided through direct votes on two occasions that the death penalty is a just and appropriate punishment for those who willfully murder another person.
Attorneys for Harris have filed yet another appeal for a new trial. Harris's execution would be the first in California in 23 years. Marilyn Heider for CBS News, San Diego.
South Korea's Supreme Court today upheld the death sentence of the woman who planted a North Korean bomb on a Korean airliner in 1987, killing all 115 aboard. Cindy Martin, the world's first heart, liver, kidney transplant patient, has died in Pittsburgh nearly 4 months after her operation. With U.S.-Japan trade talks not going well in Tokyo, Toys R Us has announced plans to open a store in Japan. It must get government approval. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are down nearly 5 points. 10 past 7.